folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We're so glad to see you. So glad that you're here. We are certainly recognize that we have several of our people out this morning because of illnesses and various things, but we're glad that you're here, and we'll just keep them in mind, and we'll just keep praying that they'll be blessed and they'll be able to be back with us certainly by next week, and we pray that they'll be well. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the extra effort you do to be here Lord's Day after Lord's Day. Thank you. I want to share a few words from Psalms 119, and starting here with verse 57, and they read like this. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. I am the companion of all of them that fear thee. For of them that keep thy precepts, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes, O Lord. Let us wait.
For hear my words this morning, we'll use number 545, first and last verse, and Benny will have the prayer. Let's all stand.
In upon my pillows you are kept pissed off. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them.
To God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life itself, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you blessed us with a beautiful sunrise this morning as usual. That shows us of your faithfulness. You never fail us, and you've never failed this week as you always have, Heavenly Father. You provided for us and helped us and things we had to do. So we thank you so very much for that, dear God. We come this morning, Heavenly Father, we want to honor you. We want to thank you. We want to praise you for your goodness that you have shown toward mankind. And then, Heavenly Father, we come this morning also saddened because several of our people are out because of illnesses, Heavenly Father, and we pray for each and every one of them that they be strengthened. We miss them so very much. There's a very important part of our congregation. And, Heavenly Father, when they're absent, we certainly miss them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for their strength, for health to come back to them, whatever they are have to deal with, the Heavenly Father will made be right in their lives so that they can enjoy and be back with the church family soon. But Heavenly Father, this morning, we, on the behalf of our church family, we're so thankful that we have a God like you that's so gracious, so loving, so kind, so willing to give your only begotten Son that we might have hope of eternal life, that we might enjoy this life here, that we have, might have peace within ourselves, not as the world gives, but as the Holy Spirit gives. So now help us, Heavenly Father, as we come together to draw close to you. Heavenly Father, help us to listen for directions. Help us, Heavenly Father, to feel your presence. In Jesus' name we ask it and praise you for it. Amen.
have our communion hymn. I'm going to use 353, first and last verse.
Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Troubled soul,
most holy Lord and Savior, we thank you for these emblems, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to remember you, Lord, and what you did on that cross. Lord, help us to remember that this blood is your broken body, Lord, and that this juice represents your blood that you shed for our sins. We ask you, Father, to please guide us in all our things that we do, Lord, that we may glorify your name. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Okay, several things to share with you this morning, and then also, if you will, share with those that you'll be talking to this week that are not here, what's taking place. Okay, we're going to have more absent this evening than we had last evening, so we're going to be dismissing Bible study again this week, and hopefully everybody will be able to be back and be with us next week. Also, let's, I guess, take a vote on this, I guess. Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then the first Friday comes right after that. And how many of you would think then we just dismiss our Friday night thing? We have Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then our Friday night thing comes on Friday after it. And that was suggested. Any thoughts? Everybody, everybody for dismissal?
That Friday's a week.
Raise your right hand.
Friday's a week after that.
I'm sorry?
First Friday's it's a week after Thanksgiving.
No, we're talking about the last Friday is when we have Thanksgiving.
Oh, y'all have dinner?
Have our, not dinner, but our what's the Friday Fellowship?
First Friday of the month is 8 days, but you're talking about something different?
Last Friday night is every month.
Thanksgiving's on the 17th. And first Friday's on the 6th. Okay.
Excuse that message. I just missed
it. I'm sorry.
Excuse that message.
I'm not hearing that.
Excuse what I wrote down.
You said never mind.
Never mind.
Leave it alone. Bypass. We have a regular one. Okay. All right. I was trying to calculate there. I knew that it was more days there than not. All right. Upcoming events, December the 8th, Magic Messengers, Cantata. And then December the 15th, that'll be the third Sunday of December. We will have the choir will present then their cantata or whatever presentation they're going to have. And we'll have our holiday meal then that day. And so you can be primed up for that. What else? Anything else taking place we need to discuss here? As we look then to our prayer list, and boy, just look around and we have several absent on the back row back there. We have two ladies holding the back row down there that it's usually a clear full. And so we're glad that you're here. And Dudo has just been advised to not walk on his hip so much. And so we just pray that that'll be all healing well and so forth, and he'll be able to be back and all the activities that he's used to. So we pray for that. We also know Vern's not there and Wayne's not here and Pauline's not here and Virginia's absent on this side. And Kim and Keith. Kim is sick. And Virgil and Ron and Tina. Yeah, there's.
Oh.
Okay, Debbie is absent.
Mike's not here.
Who?
Mike.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mike. Yeah, I got it wrote down right here on my thing. And Mike. And boy, that's unusual for him. He's always here. And he hasn't missed, I don't know, and for how long. He's taken after Dad. I don't know, this guy's been here so many times that he's never missed hardly any worship services. And Mike's following right along. He has been here on right regular all the time. All right. So we have several people here that have. Jane Swim is in St. Joe's acute care there in Lexington and needs prayers. And so you know the difficulty that she's faced with and so forth. So continue to pray for them. And I haven't heard from Mrs. Jones lately, the last week, how she might be doing. Hopefully then we haven't heard. She's doing okay? All right. Yeah. Okay, you have information. Thank you. And because I hadn't talked to Dudley or anybody this week, and I was wondering how she was. Okay, well, praise the Lord for that. Let's see, who else we got here? Just a great number of folks here that certainly wintertime has set in here, and it's kind of, and cold spells, and it kind of affect a lot of people, and so we just pray that they'll be well and be back with us, and keep them in your prayers. Everyone on our prayer list here, we hope that they're doing well. Pray for our nation. Pray for those that leads us, Heavenly Father, leads us in a good way, and the service people, care homes that care people, and the hospitals that care for people. I'm overwhelmed with the wonderful, loving, kind, and care that you get from the medical field, and God is the author of all of that, and we praise Him for having and blessing people into those fields and such. So much to be thankful for, but yet so much to be prayerful for, and so be mindful of each and every one, and as I say, kind of encourage them and give them a call or send them a card or something and let them know that we're thinking about them, that we're praying for them, and we're looking forward to seeing them back with us even next week as we come together.
Now, for our prayer hymn, be using number 92, sing the first and last verse, and Jerry will have her prayer. Let's all stand.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief.
The invitation hymn in number 345, 345.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. Thank you, Kathleen and Michael and Sierra. Thank you very much. Back to the book of John this morning, chapter 1. Last week we used the first chapter of the book of John, and we talked about the testimony of John the writer. And John the writer was an early disciple of Jesus, follower, one of the first followers of Jesus. And he wrote to us and give us encouragement to who Jesus really is, strengthened us, hopefully, on that basis of what he was. This morning, in verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is not the writer John. This is another John that we talk about here. And we're going to get to him from verses 29 through 34. We will be talking here. Actually, back in 19, we'll actually start with, because it says, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So we have here, we have in the very first words of this book, we have John the writer, the disciple of Jesus, who is giving a testimony of who Jesus is. Now we have John, another John. This John was sent from God, and this John came to give a record. So we have a testimony. We have now the recording of another John that we'll talk about this morning. Each of the Gospels presented a different perspective, really, of Jesus' life. We need all four, though, to get a full picture of what's taking place, or to get a full understanding of Jesus, I guess we might say. John writes very different from the first three gospel writers. The first three records a lot of things together. John doesn't record everything they do. John, you know, it's kind of, I say strange, I don't think it's too strange. John doesn't record anything about the birth of Jesus or his childhood. Doesn't record anything about the Last Supper. Doesn't record about the crucifixion. Doesn't record about the resurrection, doesn't record about the ascension. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. So we go back and forth to fill in to find out a full perspective of Jesus here. But we want to look at John this morning. And again, I say in verse 6, it said, there was this man sent from God whose name was John. We know this was not, again, I'll say, the writer John of the book here that wrote it. This John that wrote the book, we know very well as one of the apostles of Jesus. So let's kind of get in mind who John is here. John is the Paul Harvey of the gospel writers, who brings in the rest of the story, we might put it that way. Luke 1 tells us that there was in the days of Herod, who was king of Judea, a certain man named Zacharias. Zachariah was from the course of Abi, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, who is Elizabeth. Now we should take note here, Zachariah is from Abi, and he is a Levite. So he is out of the priesthood of the Levites. And then we look at Elizabeth, and she is out of one of the daughters of Aaron, down a long lineage here to the daughters of Aaron. She is of the Aaronic priesthood. As you know, Aaron was the first priest. And so we have here a man and his wife who are both out of the priesthood of God. And it speaks of them that they are upright people, and they're righteous, both of them, before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And so Zacharias, being a Levite, he got the privilege, the Levites did, of burning incense daily in the temple. Zacharias now has been chosen. They would draw from lots. They would draw people as a name, I guess, out of the hat or whatever, the priesthood of the Levites and such, and they would burn incense. It just happened that Zacharias now has been drawn. This is probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing for many of the Levites. It is for Zacharias. Zacharias now, he and his wife are of old age. They have no children. Zechariah goes in and he's ministering before the Lord, burning incense, and an angel appears to him and tells him that he and his wife are going to have a son. And that goes on to talk about then how that he is going to be one who is going to introduce Jesus to the world. Introduce Jesus to the world. Zacharias, as you know, then he didn't quite believe that was taking place. He was struck dumb until John was born. And Zachariah was told by the angel that this one that would be born of them would be great. He would be endowed with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, that he would go forth and announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he would bring great joy to them, and they would rejoice in his birth. And they would be a great joy in the sight of the Lord. Elizabeth gave birth to John. She believed God and to bring about those great things, and those great events in her life. It would do us, I believe, to take on the faith of Elizabeth, being of a lady of old age. So this is a miracle baby. This we have several in the scripture miracle babies. We know that Abraham and Sarah was blessed with a miracle baby. Hannah was blessed with a miracle baby. Mary is blessed with a miracle baby. And this John is a miracle baby. They've been of old age. They are now she has a son. And as we think about her, and she certainly recognized that this isn't the normal thing. And so she receives and with faith, and then she thanks God for this son. And so it would do us good, I believe, to think about God and how that he will bring about great things in our lives if we really, really anticipate and believe that they will come. And so she believed what she was told and came to pass. And so the story of the birth of John should inspire us to trust God and to be made more faithful in our service to him and our calling to him. In verses 57, 59, I think that's chapter 3 probably, we read of the birth of John and the praise of God. Great praise was given when the birth of John came about. Everybody came together. They were going to name him. And John, you know, had already been told, Zechariah's already been told, his name's going to be John. Two people that had names, John, another one was Jesus. They said they will call his name Jesus. So he calls his name John. And so a great thing took place. And out of the discussion of what the name should be, they rejoiced because of what God had done for them. And here's a little side note for you. This is the last time we hear about Zechariah and Elizabeth. We don't know what happened to them. There are several stories. Nothing biblical. They're of old age. Now, I'll tell you maybe one or two of the stories that maybe you shouldn't even tell that happened here. And there's a little thought to them. You see, who's on stage? Herod's on stage here as the ruler. And John has been born. Jesus in 6 months is going to be born. And who was looking for the children? You remember when the wise men came looking for Jesus, that Herod sent out a decree that all young children should be killed, all young sons under the age of 2 years old. Now, covering some of this time that's taking place here, this could have had some effect on Zechariah and Elizabeth and John who we call John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was in that age group.
Now, there is a couple stories. The one says that Zacharias was killed there in the temple. I don't know, so I'm not going to say. I don't know when they died. I want to believe they died of old age. But there's some good thought there. One thought is that Zechariah died, was killed by Herod. The thought is, or this writer was, I don't think this was one of the main writers of the time. He writes that beings that Herod had sent out the decree to kill all the children under 2 years old, that caught John the Baptist in there. So they sent then to Zechariah, and Zechariah refused to give up his son. And when they saw then the soldiers coming to take the son, they say that Elizabeth then run to the mountain and cried out to God, and they killed Zacharias. And here's something that makes the story a little bit different, that it's just a little far-fetched. It says that Elizabeth then, and of course this was a writer back in that time writing, they write all kinds of stories, said that Elizabeth then grabbed the son, run to the mountain, and cried to the mountain and said, "Oh God, open the mountain and save this mother and this child." And a rock opened up and made a cave, and she got in and she was saved, spared. Another thought, that's kind of a wild tale, but I mean, that's no biblical scripture for that whatsoever. But there's all kinds of tales that goes on, you know, when you read about these things that take place. Another one is that because of the celebration here when he was born, Herod and them heard of that, and they killed him. But don't go back in Luke. I think it's in Luke 11. It talks about one being killed and the blood on the temple floor. Don't take that to be Zechariah. It's not. It's not. But some people write off of that and say that is. But another thought is this, that Zechariah was killed when John the Baptist was born because of all the celebration. And no, what happened here? What took place? Zechariah says the angel, when he was able to talk, he had to say, when he was naming him and so forth, the angel that appeared to me told me this and told me his name's going to be John. He's going to be the forerunner for the Messiah. Herod gets news of this. So the story goes that then Zechariah was killed at that stage. Then Elizabeth takes John and goes into the wilderness. Now that has a little bit of merit, because everything we read of John the Baptist says what? He's in the wilderness. In the wilderness. He came forth preaching in the wilderness. Everything we read about him, most of it is from the wilderness. Wilderness. A little bit of merit. But here's what I don't believe that, any of that. It's just fictitious stories that's been told. Might have a little bit of truth in some of them, I don't know. But I just want to take the fact we don't know. I don't know. The only thing I know is this is the last time we hear of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Nothing more said in the scripture about them. So whether they died of old age, whether they was killed, and so forth, I don't know. I don't know. We just know this. John the Baptist survived whatever took place. Now, Matthew writes, and he says, "In the days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path.' Mark 4 says, Jesus said, 'Among them are not born of woman that has risen greater than John the Baptist.'" So John the Baptist, a miracle baby, appointed for a certain thing. He was to introduce Jesus. Jesus said there's nobody greater than him. Then he goes on and talks about, you know, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. And the only thing that I can get from that is fact, you know, I'll share that a little bit later here with you. But truly John the Baptist is a remarkable man. And Jesus had only good things to say about him. And so the reason John's called the greatest is because that John held the honor of being the one, you know, to come and introduce Jesus to the world. To introduce Jesus to the world. He was the one who God chose to come and be the forerunner of the Messiah. John's mission was to personally prepare the world for the coming of Jesus. That was a tremendous thing that man was privileged to do, I would say. John was the greatest in that he preached with the power of Elijah. We see later on in the scripture where they say, "Are you Elijah?" No, he says that he came in the power of Elijah. Elijah was a powerful speaker, powerful prophet, speaking for God when we study about Elijah. So he had that going for him. And John shared a number of qualities of Elijah, including calling a nation to repentance. If you go back and read Elijah, how that he called this nation to repentance, and you come here and you find John the Baptist, and it called all, it says, all of Judea, all of the surroundings of Judea, came to John to be baptized. So he called them to repentance. Tremendous privilege. John was the greatest because he broke, some say it's 439 years. We talk and we hear preachers and we preach about the 400-year period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the old era and the new era. So John was the one that had the privilege of bringing out of the law into the new, out of the old into the new. And John was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he was the first of the New Testament prophets. John's preaching was the end of the law and the beginning of the promise of God. They were living under the law, and they couldn't keep the law. They were burdened by the law, and now John comes along and says, you know, here's one's coming, and he's going to do away with the law, and he's the promise. So what a privilege that John had to introduce this one who would unburden them and bring the promise of God to give the peace and ease the burdens and bring the life that he had promised to them. And so John's preaching here was the last of the prophets and that predicted Christ, and he was the only prophet that actually saw Jesus. And listen, he's the only prophet. John the Baptist, the only prophet. How many prophets prophesied? I never numbered them, but think about all the Old Testament prophets. They prophesied about Jesus, and yet here's John, the only prophet that really saw Jesus. John actually stood in front of this human being and said, "That is him. That is Jesus. That is the promised one. That is the Messiah. That is the one who has come to cleanse mankind from his sins." That was a privilege given to John the Baptist. And so John actually stood there, and he was the only prophet could just point to Jesus and say, "Hey, there he is." You remember the story, and it goes right on into this story here. When he came one day, and he just pointed, and he said, "There goes the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world." John could just point right to him. I don't know anything about the childhood of Jesus. I've read a lot of things, and they're kind of like some of them stories I just told you, a little bit fictitious stories, a little bit off the wall about childhood. Now, surely John and Jesus came together in their early years. Surely at some times they had a family reunion. They were kinfolks. And surely they got together, but we don't have any information. We don't have anything in the Bible about that. But nevertheless, John did not know. Let's assume, you know, let's assume they're 10 years old and the families get together and they're playing. At that time, John did not know Jesus was the Messiah. He did not know that he was the one that he was sent to point out. Not at all. You read stories about what they did in their childhood, but they're not biblical. 10 years, you know, assuming they were 10 years old and they're having a family reunion and they play together and everything else, but John does not know that Jesus is the Messiah at that time. I can prove that from the Bible. We'll go on. So here we have John did without seeing the fullness of God, you know. And when it talks about how great he is and the least of the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, and what is that? We're greater because John didn't see the cruci- John didn't see Jesus on the cross. John didn't see Jesus raised from the grave. John didn't see Jesus ascend to the heaven. but you and I, with our spiritual eye and the Word of God, what? We've seen that. We see that. We have experienced something greater than John the Baptist didn't experience. As great a things as John experienced. And the greatest thing for mankind to experience is what? The death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And John died before that took place. Now, getting back to the record here, it says in verse 29, it says here that here's the record when they came to him. So the main idea of this passage is witness. And I hope you I hope you're getting a little bit from last week's message and this message today, that there's testimony, there's records, there's witness going on here of how great Jesus really is. And you and I have the responsibility to go out these doors and go up and down these roads and tell and share the record of Jesus, to have testimony of Jesus, who he really is, and to encourage people to repent and accept Jesus, just as John the Baptist does. You must be a John as the writer here. You must be a John as the Baptist was and tell. That's what's taking place. There is the testimony of John the writer. There is the record of John the Baptist of Jesus and who he is and what he came for and what he's doing. And it's up to us to share that. John is not here. He is introduced him to the world. And you and I have the obligation, responsibility to share that with those around about. So the main idea of the passage is witness. Witness is telling others about Jesus. That's simply all it is. You want to go to your neighbors and witness to them about Jesus, just go tell them about Jesus. And hopefully you can see here from the writing of John and the record of John what Jesus is. Jesus, to me, is more than what I once saw him to be. I once saw Jesus as a man who came to die on the cross to take away our sins. I see Jesus, as I preached to you last week, Jesus is God. And when I recognize Jesus is more than mere man, that's something to shout about, my friend. That's something to share with. Jesus is God. He's everything God except the Father. I know that's hard for some people to grasp. But when you grasp that, it ought to change your life like nothing else. And John says, here's the one, here is that one that the writer says is God. Here he is, and he points him out. So we get back here to him. And we notice everything that John does, everything that John says points to Jesus. What's that tell us? We had in our lesson this morning, our focus ought to be on the resurrection. On the coming of Jesus. We know about the resurrection. Our focus today as Christians should be on the coming of the Lord Jesus. And it could be any time. And in doing so, we need to come back and look. Where's our testimony? Can we state a record of Jesus? What took place? Can you do that? Will you do that? Verse 19 and 20 through 28 here. This is a record. This is the record or the testimony. John the Baptist here is now witnessing. When the Jews sent priests and Levites to ask John who he was, John says, I'm not the Christ. Because they had thought, you know, and even after Herod kills John, you know, and he said, you know, and he heard about Jesus, he said, that's John the Baptist raised back. He thought he was the Messiah, you know, and says, but John says, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. And even now today, we have people that claim to be Christ. We have people in different places. I haven't heard. I thought about this the other day when I was thinking on this lesson. That Sion Moon or whatever his name is, you know, that came and claimed to be the Messiah. Oh, he wasn't. He was just a big, well, okay. But there are a lot of them that away, aren't they? I mean, we've got some people in right now. I don't know if there's one in the United States right now. It might be, I don't know, but I don't know if there's any in the world that claims to be the Messiah. And Jesus said they would be with people come that say they were him. But John said, no, I'm not him. Well, what do you say then, John? Who are you? Are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you one of the prophets? No, I'm not one of the prophets. Who are you? I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Repent, make ready for the one who's coming. I'm here to point out to you the Messiah. He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight your way of the Lord, as said in the prophet Isaiah, which would be. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Now, well, we're getting away. Let me give you an insight on the Pharisees, what's taking place here. Why is this, why did they put in here that, and they were the which were sent of the Pharisees? The Pharisees, and many of them were a part of the, well, Nicodemus was, give me a word, somebody. Who ruled? Who made the laws? Scribes and so forth, the Pharisees, and not the Sadducees. Somebody help me out. Who was the ruling of the law and so forth that day? Sanhedrin, yeah. So Pharisees, many Pharisees were part of the Sanhedrin, which the scribes wrote the laws and so forth. The Pharisees then took them up, and the Pharisees taught them, these are the way you live. These are the laws. Now, because of the Pharisees in here, what's taking place? The Pharisees knows this. They know of the sacrifices of the Old Testament. They knew the sacrifices, the blood sacrifice, had to be given for sins. And so they taught then also that if you're going to be a child of God, then you're going to have to be circumcised, you're going to have to be baptized. This isn't the first time we read about baptism. We go back clear back in the book of Genesis, and you can read about immersion. It says back in Genesis, and I forget the chapter and verse right off, but it says that the whole body was immersed to be cleansed. So they have that. They have that in their mind. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin laws had lawed, you know, this was law. If you wanted to be a child of God then, if you wanted to be a Jew, child of God, you had to be baptized, immersed in water, and you had to be circumcised. Now, what's taking place? John is out here doing what? He said you need to repent because there's one coming that is going to, you know. They asked him why he baptized. He said, I baptize with water. There's one coming that's going to baptize you with Holy Spirit. Talking about Jesus. So there was the confusion of the Pharisee. That's why that Pharisee is in there. The Pharisee said, you're teaching something against our law. Our law is that you got to be circumcised, you got to be baptized, and so forth. And John's just saying, you repent and receive the one that's coming. Be baptized, be immersed, and such he says. So there we have with the Pharisees. They asked him who said why he baptized the Lord, and Jesus John answered and said, I baptize with water, but there one standeth among you. Now I don't understand this verse, but it says, he says, there's one standeth among you, one that standeth among you whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latches I am not worthy to unloosen. What's he said? He's in the beginning. This one has come, he was in the beginning. John was born before Jesus. And so he stands there and says, the one's coming was before me. Well, he goes back to what we had last week, when he, in the beginning was. Goes even back to there. So he says here, now between verses 28 and 29, there's a lot of things that takes place. And if you don't get into going back and forth in them, you don't see that. That's not chronological from 28 to 29. A lot of things took place there. Here's something that had to take place there. Jesus had to come and be baptized of John. the other writers will tell you that. Also, Jesus had to go up into the wilderness and be tempted for 40 days and come back. Now, when Jesus had been to the wilderness and been tempted and came back, then we can pick up there. Because, see, John could not say, which he did say, when John pointed out, John had already baptized Jesus. And Jesus now, my study and so forth, Jesus now, what's the scripture said? As soon as John baptized him, what did he do? He come up out of the water and he was gone into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. Now, here in verse 29 through 34, it says, the next day. What is that next day? See, it's not the next day after verse 28. It's the next day after Jesus has come out of the temptations with Satan. And then's when John comes, or Jesus comes walking along. That's when Jesus points out and says, there is the Lamb of God to take away the sins of man. Now, you have to follow that up, because the scripture goes on and says in verse 29, the next day seeth Jesus coming, saith unto them, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins. Then as he of whom I said, after was cometh the man who is preferred before me, and I knew him not, but he should be made manifest of Israel, and I'm come baptizing with water. And down in verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood with the two disciples, and then go on and read that, what happened? Then the disciples begin to follow Jesus, and Jesus goes on then into Galilee and begins preaching. A lot of stuff taking place there. And you can, if you can't get them together, it gets kind of confusing. And sometimes it's confusing when I try to explain that. But you can see how that all happened. But those things had to happen before he pronounced. Now, John's testimony, John's record was what? How did he know that Jesus was the Messiah? He told the Pharisees, didn't he? And here's to me is a place. That's why I say back in childhood, he didn't know that Jesus was going to be the Messiah. He didn't know until he was baptized the sureness of who Jesus was. What's the scripture say? It's, John says, the one who sent me, back in verse 6, the man sent from God by the name of John, he said, it's not recorded what John's conversation with God either, but God talked to John back there, didn't he? Had to. God told John, he said, now John, here's the one that's the Messiah. And here's the way you're going to know the Messiah. When you see the dove ascending and lighting on him, you will know he's the one. So John the Baptist did not know with 100% of sureness that Jesus was the Messiah until the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lit on him. And John told the Pharisees, said, the one who sent me to baptize and preach repentance told me I would know the one when the Holy Spirit descended. And John said, I saw him light and remaining on Jesus. So John could stand before Jesus and say, there goes the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He had a the record of John is, there he is. And that's Jesus. Well, time, just wait. Let me finish up like here. John's message is a very simple message, wasn't it? Isn't it something? John's message is a very simple message. He came as a simple man, and when you get the description of John, he's a weird guy, isn't he? He's kind of weird. If you had saw John the Baptist, you would thought, man, he's a weird guy, wouldn't he? And he's preaching. And he's preaching in such a simple way that it says, all the coast of Galilee, Jerusalem, and everything came out to him. If you get a good picture of John, it had to be the power of the word that he was preaching, because they all come out. It says, and you know, time just gets away so fast. It's so interesting. And if you think about Zacchaeus, and we talked about stories about him, and Matthew being tax collectors and so forth, and that's why I can say I don't think that Zacchaeus was what a lot of people says he was at the time Jesus was talking to him, because it says even the publicans come. Who's the publicans? Those tax collectors came to John and were baptized. And John told them, they asked John, what should they do? And John told them. And I can almost see Zacchaeus in there. I can almost see Matthew in there. And he says, you go back, you don't short anybody of any change. The scripture says that. You don't short anybody. The soldiers came to John the Baptist and asked the question, what should we do? And he says, you do what is right toward man. I mean, there's so much in that scripture about John the Baptist stuff that's so wonderful, wonderful. But the main thing is, he pointed out, he testified truly who Jesus was. That's for you and I to do. Well, last week we had the powerful testimony of the Apostle John that Jesus was God. Today we have a man sent from God. I mean, you got to grasp those things back there, friends. You got to grasp the fact that he's born to two priestly people, two priestly lineage people, this John was. And he was sent by God himself. And to think about that, today we have this man sent from God, being John the Baptist, to testify the Messiah, to proclaim the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. What's so important? The important thing is we believe the record of John. We believe the testimony of the writer John. And what is important is you share that with people that don't know it. John came, and John's mission was what? To introduce Jesus to the world. Your and my mission is what? To introduce Jesus to your world around you. Amen. Let's stand. First verse only. Commit to sharing Jesus. For your kind attention, Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for just being a good examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go forth this week and share the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, to take away the sins of mankind. God bless you. No Bible study tonight. Remember all those folks that are absent from us this morning. Just pray for strength for them. God's good care, and we know they'll be well. God bless you. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful for this day. Thankful, Heavenly Father, that we can look in your word and see and be encouraged by it. As we know, Heavenly Father, that we see the testimony of John the writer, and we see the record of John, it would behoove us to share this wonderful good news with those folks around us. He is the one. Let us point everyone to Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.